Each of the five that will be baptized this morning have been saved by grace through faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has led each of these in different paths, but has chosen at a particular time in their life to show them the mercy that can only be found in His Son. As you've heard from their testimonies already, some had more defining moments in their life in which God more clearly spoke to some, and less defining times for others. I would like to have you turn this morning, if you will, to Psalm 130. We will see that there is one main truth that prevailed in all of the testimonies that unites them together in Jesus, and one main truth that unites all Christians together. And that truth is that salvation is procured by grace alone, by faith alone, in the Son of God, Jesus Christ alone. Let's just bow our heads in prayer and ask for His blessing upon our time here. Father, we come before You this morning, Lord, as weak vessels. Lord, I come here, Lord, with fear in my own heart. Lord, knowing that I am to open up Your Word and to proclaim it to these people in such a way, Lord, that they would better understand who You are and better understand, Lord, the call that You have placed upon the hearts of these five as well. And so I ask that You would just come now with Your Spirit and to descend upon me, but descend upon every heart in this place, that You would quiet us, that You would allow us, Lord, just to spend our time focusing on You, focusing on Your Word and what it is that You would have us learn this morning as well. So I ask, Lord, that You would just come, be glorified in the things that we say. Lord, may You be lifted up and just exalted this day. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 130, beginning in verse 1, I'm going to read the entire psalm. It says, "Out of the depths I cry to You, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let Your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If You, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with You there is forgiveness, that You may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than the watchman for the morning, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption. And He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." The psalmist begins verse 1 speaking of a prayer, and he's crying from the depths. This depth is not a large hole in the ground, but the psalmist is speaking about his realization that he is a sinner. And because of this, there is a large gap or space between himself and God. He has seen his sin in such a way that he realizes that he has been separated from the favorable presence of God. He feels left alone, and this is all because of the sins that he has committed. If one feels himself in the depths of separation from God, then the prayers he offers are not just simple words that flow from his lips, but they come also from deep within the person. He realizes that he needs to cry out to God because of his sinfulness. It is impossible for a holy and a righteous God to allow a wicked, sinful person into his presence. So the writer states that he cries out to God, or he pleads with him, because he does see his need to draw near to God. Verse 2 states that he is pleading with God. He knows that God would not have to hear his voice He knows for the last years of his life he has totally rejected God, and now he wants God to hear him. He cries for mercy, or this can be translated grace or unmerited favor. The psalmist saw that he needs something that he did not deserve. He is very anxious and wants to make sure that God is listening to the pleading. The only thing meaningful to him at this point is that God hear his voice, and there is no one else that can help. Verse 3 shows us that the writer understands the depravity of his soul. Since the fall of man recorded for us in the book of Genesis, man has been at rebellion against God and has done everything to make himself pleasing in his own sight. Man would sooner do anything than to do something that would bring glory to God or cause God to be recognized in a positive way. Man wants all the glory. The psalmist notes that if God had or would mark any iniquity or sin that he had committed, it would be impossible for him or anyone to stand in his presence. It would be an impossibility. The words of the psalmist show us that he understood the need for repentance. He sees his sinfulness and the fact that he does not deserve the privilege of approaching God because he is a person covered in sin and he is a hater of God. He knows that he must plead with God because of the state of his soul. Verse 4 shows us as well that the psalmist understands and has had his eyes open to see that there is mercy to be found when you cry out to God. Free and full pardon is in the hands of a great loving and sovereign God. God can provide forgiveness of sins because he himself has provided the sacrifice for sins that will wash away all iniquities that stand between us, sinful man, and a holy God. God has provided his Son, Jesus Christ, to be a sacrifice for sins for those who come to him, seeing no hope in themselves, seeing the wickedness of their own hearts, repenting of their sins, and casting themselves upon the mercy of God. The word "but," which begins verse 4, is a great transition from how the psalmist was seeing himself, a helpless sinner, destined to a life apart from the favorable presence of God, to one of hope in a God who willingly shows grace and mercy to all those who come to him repenting of their sins. The verse closes with the words, "that thou may be feared." This fear is a holy fear. It is God-given. It enables man to be reverent before God, before God's authority, to obey his commands, and to hate and to turn away from evil. The Bible describes this fear as the beginning of wisdom, Psalm 111. And Proverbs 8 says that this fear will drive us to hate evil, pride, and arrogance. I'm just going to pause for a moment here as well and just ask each of you, every one of you that's gathered here this morning, what is the state of your soul? Do you know anything of the depravity and the hatred that you have for God? Do you have any desire to be with God's people, to worship God, to praise him for all that he has done through his Son, Jesus Christ? What do you spend all of your time doing? Where are your thoughts? And what is directing your motives? I cannot answer these questions of your life, and you know for you. You must search your heart and soul and realize where you stand. If God is not part of your life, and you know nothing of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then I beg of you to cry out to God as the psalmist did and plead for mercy from God. God will grant this prayer. If we come believing in the promise of God for salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, He will save. Do not wait for me to finish speaking. Do not wait for the service to end. If you need to come to Jesus Christ, then do it now. Today is the day of salvation. Do not hesitate. Come. These five, John, Dave, Lena, Phil, and Susie, have by God's grace come to understand this truth. The good news also is that we are not left at this point in the psalm, but we have been given even more. Verse 5 states the psalmist now can wait for the Lord, and in His word we have hope. Many in this world state that they are waiting for the next paycheck. Many are waiting to win the lottery. Many are waiting for the newest electronic or the newest vehicle. But the psalmist is waiting for the Lord. All the things that we wait for here are all going to outdate, rust, or become useless. But the psalmist is waiting for the Lord, who will always be there. He will never disappear. God is eternal, and God is coming back to claim His people for Himself. And then they will be with Him for eternity. This is of so much greater value than anything in this world, and this is what we should be longing for if we are His children. And we should be crying out, as the author of Revelations did, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." What is it that you are waiting for? But the psalmist not only waits for the Lord, but he finds hope as well. People of this world have hope that they may have a better crop this year, or that the recent budget cuts will not impact their work. They hope that they will remain healthy. They hope for their retirement. But the hope that the psalmist speaks about here is totally different. This biblical hope is not conditioned by circumstances or any human possibilities. This hope spoken of here is based upon faith in God, particularly upon God's preparing for the coming of Christ and now what God is doing through His Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10 says, "But God, who raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, He on whom we have set our hope, and He will yet deliver us." If God has raised us from the dead, why do we not place our hope in Him? Hebrews 6 verse 19 says, "This hope we have is like an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us." Jesus, it says, went before us. He has made the way possible for us. He has secured for us freedom and pardon that could be attained in no other way. So why do we not hope in Him? It is the Word of God that we hope in. Spurgeon says, "As we wait, we study the Word. We believe the Word. We hope in the Word and live on the Word. And all because it is the Word. The Word of Him who never speaks in vain. Jehovah's Word is a firm ground for a waiting soul to rest upon." So I ask you, Christian, today, what is your hope? What are you doing while you wait for the Lord? I think we all need to set our hope, set our priorities right, and put our focus on the one and only thing that is sure and true in this world, and that is the Word of God. In this we can have great hope, We need to take our minds off of all the distractions of this world. The games, the movies, the electronics. They're not wrong per se, but they are taking us away from the one thing that we should be putting our focus on. If we do not know what the Word of God says, how can we trust it and have hope in it? We need to live on the Word, as Spurgeon says. It should be our sustenance. Verse 7, the psalmist wants all who have come to faith to have hope in the Lord, and he gives us two reasons for this hope. The Lord, with the Lord, there is steadfast love. This means that God is faithful to keep His word. All that He has said and all His promises are true and will be fulfilled. God is a covenant-keeping God, and we can rely on God. In His Word are the answers to our questions, and they are correct, and there are no mistakes in what He has written for us. It is steadfast love because it never changes. It has been the same from eternity past. God is faithful. He also says in verse 7 that there is plentiful redemption. This redemption, or this ransom that has been paid for sinners, was the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary. This redemption spoken of is a blood-bought freedom that can come only by faith in Jesus Christ. This redemption is taking you out of a situation that you that you could not get out of by yourself. We have been redeemed from a life of sin. We as children of God who sit here this morning have been set free to live a life to the glory of God by the sacrificial death of God's Son, who paid our penalty, paid our ransom, and provided our redemption for the sins that we committed. Amen. If you're here this morning and know nothing of this redemption, there is enough blood to cover your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God is calling you. Today is the day of salvation. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Christ will turn away none who come to Him in faith. Accept God's gift of grace today. Christ is more than willing. He is able to raise all who come to Him out of the pit or the depths of despair and raise them to newness of life. There are no limitations. Only come by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He closes the psalm with the words, "And He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Israel is God's chosen people. He will save them and He will forgive all their iniquities. So come this morning to Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Believe Him. And He will save you. Let's just close this portion in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for the blessed privilege we have of just being able to open up this portion of Word. And Lord, as we consider and think how over the past years, Lord, You have saved many of us that sit in this room. The Lord's salvation came to all of us by the same method. Through the preaching of Your Word and through the proclamation of the gospel of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And so I thank You for that. I thank You, Lord, that for these five that have professed this morning and given us their testimonies, Lord, that You have saved them through the shed blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ, in washing away their sins and raising them to newness of life as well. So, Lord, help all those that sit in this room this morning who do not know you to open up their hearts and open up their eyes to see that they need to be as a psalmist and cry out to you for grace and mercy and for the salvation that will come to them if they truly believe. So I ask, Lord, that you would again continue with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with us, before we go to the baptisms, if you'd like to open your Bibles to Colossians 2, Colossians 2, and we'll be reading from verse 9 on. Beginning in verse 9 of Colossians 2, it says, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." John, Dave, Lena, Phil, and Susie have all been saved, as we have noted, by the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. They have been redeemed. They have put off the old and put on the new self. The old heart of stone has been removed, and a new heart of flesh has been given. The circumcision done by Christ has been completed. They were dead in their trespasses and sins, and now have been raised to newness of life. The writer of Colossians states that this is what baptism is. It's a picture of having been buried with Christ and now being raised with Christ to newness of life. These five have been redeemed to the glory of God. The baptism that these five are about to undergo has no means of changing anything in their heart or in their life. What they are about to do is to publicly proclaim to you and to the world that by grace God has forgiven them their sins. He has raised them from the dead, their dead condition in Adam, and has raised them to the newness of life in Jesus Christ. According to Ephesians 2 and verse 6, we are raised up with Christ and are seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They are telling you today that they no longer want to serve the world and the lust thereof. They want to serve Jesus Christ at any cost. We believe that baptism and church membership are joined together, as in the book of Acts. Every time baptism took place, those saved were added to a number count. Today, these five will be added to the count of Grace Community Church. Baptism is no small thing. So John, Dave, Lena, Phil, and Susie will now do this, as you are the witness. So let's give all the praise to God alone. So we'll sing a couple songs, and the rest will go out, and then we'll get changed to be ready for the baptism. So.